Joshua chapter 1, and with this portion of Scripture open before us, we'll have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege of preaching the word of God. O God, help us to rightly divide thy word today. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage and strengthen and challenge your own saints. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for the leading and the guiding of the Lord. And we thank thee for thy precious word. O God, bless your word. Now to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. At the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, Joshua becomes the successor of Moses. God here in this portion of Scripture commands Joshua to commence leading the children of Israel over Jordan and into the promised land. What a task this was for Joshua, the son of Nun. Besides becoming Moses' successor, a great task in itself, Joshua had to lead the nation of Israel in conquering a land that was full of hostile enemies and that were far greater and mightier than Israel. And of course, this is what the book of Joshua is all about. The book of Joshua is about how Joshua, under God, led the children of Israel into the promised land and how they conquered their enemies. This book is not a history of the entire life of Joshua, because Joshua is mentioned long before the record that is given in this book that bears his name. No, the book of Joshua is only a history of Joshua's leadership of Israel after he took over from Moses, in which he led Israel into possession of their inheritance of the promised land. And it's very important that you understand that. As we pointed out last week, Joshua is mentioned in other places in the Bible. Indeed, before we get to the book of Joshua, Joshua is mentioned. And of course, we found that out last week when we considered how the Lord prepared him to take over from Moses after Moses died. Very simply, today at the close of our meeting, I want to draw your attention to the beginning of Joshua's leadership, or the commencement of duty as Moses' successor. And I do pray that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts, but especially to those of us who are saved today. What do we learn here? As Joshua commences his duty of becoming the successor of Moses. Well, first of all, we learn this. It was a great time of sadness. Look what it says there in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, of course, had led the children of Israel for 40 years. They had known no other leader. Moses was a faithful servant of God. Indeed, as God speaks to Joshua here, he speaks of Moses in the highest esteem by calling Moses his servant. You see, at the beginning of verse 2, when Moses is described as the servant of the Lord, it is the Lord that is describing Moses as such. It is the Lord that says, Moses, my servant, is dead. My, what a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful testimony. I wonder, child of God, how are we known in heaven? Indeed, I could ask that question to each and every one of us, whether you're saved or not. How are we known in heaven? As God looks down upon this meeting today, does he look into our lives and does he say, my faithful servant? Oh, so important. In these days in which we live, those of us who are saved, that we live for the Lord, that we serve him. And of course, that ought to be our aim in the Christian life, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And of course, Moses was such a man. Moses served the Lord faithfully all the days of his life. Moses was one of the greatest men that ever lived upon this earth, apart, of course, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No other man, I believe, knew God as Moses knew God. Because the Bible tells us that Moses knew God face to face. Oh, child of God, do you know the Lord face to face? Are you continually in his presence? Moses was a character, an individual, who was continually in the presence of the Lord. And that's why he was so great. And that's why he had this resounding testimony from heaven, from God himself. Moses, my servant. When Moses died, therefore, a great void was left in Israel. God thought so much of Moses that he undertook to bury Moses himself. And I'm sure that you're familiar with that fact. Just glance over there to the last chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, and you'll read these words in verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that's the Lord buried Moses in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. And there we have the Lord, and he's undertaking to bury his child. Oh, what an honor. What an honor that was. No undertaker buried Moses. It was the God of heaven who looked after the body of his servant. So when Joshua began, when he commenced his leadership, when he commenced his duty of leading the nation of Israel, it was a time of great sadness. What do we learn here under this point? We learn three things, and I'm just going to throw them out, and you can think about them the rest of the day. First of all, even the best of men will die. It doesn't matter who we are. The best of men will die. There was no greater leader than Moses. There was no greater man, I believe, that ever lived upon this scene of time, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as Moses. You think of the great men and women that are recorded in the Bible, and there are many of them. I believe that Moses was, if not the greatest, one of the greatest. And yet the time came when he had to die. And the truth is, no matter how godly a man is, no matter how spiritual a man is, no matter how influential a man is, for God, the time comes when he has to die. And we learn this. We are not to mourn forever. Life must go on. Now, if you take a look at Deuteronomy 34 there, and verse 8, when Moses died, you'll read these words at the end of the verse. So the days of weeping and mourning over Moses were ended. Now, they did mourn for Moses. Of that, there is no doubt. Because at the beginning of verse 8, it says, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And there was a time of mourning after Moses died. But the time came when mourning days were over. And the work of God had to continue. And children of Israel had to get on with their lives. And when we come to Joshua chapter 1, oh, it's a time of sadness. Of that there is no doubt. Moses, my servant, is dead. But time has come to move on. In other words, the Lord was telling Joshua and the children of Israel, you've got to draw the line in the sand. And you've got to go forward. You've got to go forward. You can't mourn forever. And although Moses is dead, well, I'm going to see to it that you now enter into the promised land and enter into your time of possession. And of course, that's exactly what happened. But there's something else we learn here. God will always have someone to take over the place of the godliest of men. And of course, that's what happened here. In other words, God's workers may die, but God's work will go on. And that brings me to my second point. Not only when Joshua commenced his duty, not only was it a time of great sadness, but it was also a time of great blessing. A time of great blessing. God had now called Joshua to take over from Moses.
Joshua the son of Nun was God's blessing upon Israel. Look what it says in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. And look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God did not leave Israel without a leader. God did not forsake the nation of Israel, the nation that he loved and that he delivered out of bondage. And in order to show that the children of Israel were the people of God, the Lord blessed them with Joshua. Oh, not only was it a time of sadness, but it was a time of blessing. God's work was going on. And although this great man of God had died, and although they did not know any other leader apart from Joshua, or apart from Moses, God was saying here to Joshua and to the nation, well, it's time to move forward, because the Lord, me, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you with another leader. The Lord was not going to leave Israel leaderless. That is why Joshua was set forth to be Moses' successor. Joshua was God's blessing to the nation. You know, child of God, when we read through the Bible, we learn this, that godly leaders in the church are God's blessing to the church. And although we're not to worship them, and although we're not to fall down before them, we are to respect them, we're to love them, we're to honor them, we're to pray for them, and we are to speak well of them. Keep your hand in Joshua chapter 1 and turn over just for a moment to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And here we have Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing to young Timothy, and he comes to speak of the leaders in the church, the elders. And this is what he says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. There we have Paul emphasizing to Timothy the importance of leaders in the church, and the importance of respecting them and honoring them and praying for them and loving them. Just turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and take a look there at verse 12 and 13. Again, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the saints of Thessalonica, and this is what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. So he's speaking here about the oversight, and admonished you, and to esteem them, verse 13, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Again, the text of Scripture is emphasizing the importance of showing respect and showing love and highly esteeming those who God has placed over the church. Now Joshua was the leader, and he needed that respect. Now Joshua was taking over from Moses, and he needed the support of the children of Israel. For over 40 years, the nation had only known one leader. But now that man had died, and they had mourned him for 30 days. What were they going to do? How were they going to go forward? And they, perhaps some of them thought that the nation was over. But it wasn't over, because God was going to set his hand upon Joshua. God was going to call Joshua, and we noticed that last week, how God called Joshua. Well, he's beginning his work now. He's beginning his duty. He's taking over the reins, if you like. And as he does,
Oh, it's a time of sadness for the nation. They look back and they remember the one who did lead them. But it's a time of blessing. And it's a time of great blessing. Oh, child of God, the Lord will keep his hand upon his work. Whatever happens, the Lord will bless his church. And just as he raised up a Joshua, after Moses, God will always have his instrument. Right to the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Thank God the Lord blesses the church with ministers and pastors and evangelists and with elders. He blesses his church. And they are a blessing. And never forget that. Never forget that. But there's something else I want you to notice. I want you to notice not only was it a time of sadness and a time of great blessing, but it was a time of great challenge. A time of great challenge. First of all, notice that it was a challenge that Joshua had to face personally. The great challenge that Joshua faced as he began his duty of becoming the successor of Moses was he had to face the challenge of leading the children of Israel according to God's word. Now that was the challenge. Look what it says in verse 7 and 8. Here we have the Lord speaking to Joshua, and he's speaking to Joshua and telling Joshua how he has to lead this great nation. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Joshua was not to lead the nation according to his own ways, according to his own thoughts. Joshua was to live his life and lead his people in accordance with the word of God. My friend, that was a challenge. That was a challenge. What a challenge that was for this young man. When things were hard, when times were tough, when perhaps the children of Israel were murmuring against him as they did Moses, he was not to listen to anyone apart from God. God's word was to be his only rule of faith and practice. No matter how difficult the battles would be ahead, no matter how many times his back would be against the wall, even in times of defeat, he was to walk according to the word of the Lord. Joshua was to obey the word. And of course, that's what verse 7 and 8 indicates. The Lord is emphasizing to Joshua here the importance of living in obedience according to the word of God. And of course, he was not only to obey the word. And of course, before you can obey the word, you've got to know the word. So you've got to read the word. Joshua, you've got to read the scriptures. You've got to meditate upon the word. Because, my friend, you can't really know the word until you meditate upon it. And you'll notice in verse 8 that the Lord emphasizes to Joshua that he must meditate therein day and night. My friend, that's going to take time. And I want you to think about Joshua here being the leader of a great nation. Where would he get the time to read the Bible? Where would he get the time to meditate upon God's word? He could have thought like that. Of course he didn't. He didn't. With all his duties, with all the problems of every day, Joshua always took the time to meditate upon the word of God. Let me ask you, child of God, do you take the time every day to meditate upon the word of God? He said to me, but Mr. Gray, you don't know how busy I am in the business or at work. You don't know how many things I have to do every day. If you knew my life and how busy I was, you wouldn't be asking me, do I meditate upon the word of God? I haven't time. Well, friend, if you haven't got time, then you are too busy, whatever you're doing. If Joshua, the man that took over from Moses and led a nation, and
led that nation into victory, into battle after battle after battle. Just think of all the things that would have been pressing in against him. All the decisions he would have to make as he thought about the next battle and the next city that he had to conquer and all these people he had to deal with. If he took the time
to wait upon the Lord and meditate upon his word, how much more you and I, do we take the time? Child of God, answer the question honestly within your own heart. I'm not answering the question for you. You answer the question yourself. Do you take the time every day to read the word of God, to meditate upon the scriptures of truth? Do you? Because only you and God knows whether you do or not. Oh, how important it is. What a challenge. That's the challenge for Joshua, and it's certainly the challenge for us. You know, the truth is that many of Israel's leaders in the future from this time on, after Joshua, in other words, many of Israel's leaders in the future would not be governed by the word of God. Many of them. You take the time to read about the kings of Israel, and many of them had no time to obey the word of God. They didn't even take the time to read it and to meditate upon it. There are many of them. But Joshua here, Joshua was a man who did meditate upon the word of God. But not only was there the challenge to Joshua, there was the challenge that the children of Israel faced. Their challenge, of course, was to follow Joshua as Joshua followed the Lord. Their challenge was to let Moses go. They had to let Moses go. It was going to be hard. They had known nothing but Moses in their midst. They had known nothing but this great man leading them for 40 years, many of them. But now Joshua, he was going to have to take over. They were going to have to accept Joshua as the leader. Well, did they do that? Well, take a look at verse 16. Look what it says. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be thou strong and of a good courage." Oh, it was going to be a challenge for the nation of Israel, but according to their own testimony there, they were saying to Joshua, "We'll follow you. We'll follow you as you follow the Lord. We'll obey you as you obey the Lord." And certainly when you read the rest of the book, and we're going to see in these studies how the Lord blessed them as they worked together. Joshua and the children of Israel worked together. Oh, child of God, there can be no blessing until we work together. There must be unity in the house of God. And if there's one book that teaches us the blessing in unity, it is the book of Joshua and how Joshua and the nation were blessed. One final thing, and with this I'm finished. We're talking here about Joshua beginning his duty of successor to Moses. He's taking over here. God has called him, and now God has set his hand upon him, and God's given him the command, right? It's time to go over Jordan. It's time to possess your possessions. Time of sadness, and it's a time of blessing. It's a time of challenge. It's a time of great promise. Did you notice all the promises that God gave to Joshua as he took over leadership of the nation of Israel? Well, let me just point them out to you. You've got your Bible open. Take a look, first of all, at verse 2, and you'll see that God promised him possession of the land. Look what it says. "My servant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them." There's the promise. It doesn't even say, "unto the land that I will give to them." It says, "unto the land which I do give to them." I've already given this land. This land's already theirs. All you have to do is to go in and possess it. The promise of possession of the land. Look at verse 5. And you'll see God's promise. God promised Joshua power from the Lord. Then shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. O Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. God promised Joshua power from the Lord. And if you take a look at the end of verse 5, you'll see that God promised him the presence of the Lord. His presence. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So the Lord not only promised him possessing the land and power, but he also promised him his presence day by day as he entered into the promised land. And look at verse 7 again and 8, and you'll see that God promised him prosperity. There was prosperity. Look at the latter part of verse 7. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look at the latter part of verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Oh, Joshua went forward on the promises of God's word. Joshua's faith, as he went forward, was grounded on the word of God, the promises of God, not in his own ability or his own strength, but in the ability and the strength of the Lord. On this basis, Joshua took courage. Is it any wonder that the Lord blessed him? Is it any wonder that he went forward fearless? He was a fearless individual. But he was only a fearless individual because he was leaning on the promises of God. The Lord had promised him, Joshua, I'll be with thee. As I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. No matter what you come up against, Joshua, I'll be there. I'll give you the power to overcome. And my presence will be with you. And I'll prosper you, Joshua. I'll prosper you. No matter who stands against you, Joshua, I'll prosper you. Listen, if you obey my word, if you meditate in my word, if you seek to live according to my truth, I'll bless you, Joshua. My friend, listen to me. You want the blessing of God in your life? You want the promises of God to be yours? Then live for the Lord. Do what he wants you to do. Serve him with all your heart, soul, and mind. That young man that stayed behind last Sunday afternoon couldn't get the assurance of salvation. Saved a year ago. He says, Mr. Gray, how do you know you're saved? Friend, how do you know you're saved? If I was to ask you that question, could you give me an answer? What would you say? How do you know you're saved? Friend, there's only one way you know how you know you're saved. You know you're saved because of the promises of God's word. That's how you know you're saved. I know I'm saved because God says in his word, if I call upon him and ask him to save me, he'll save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you know you're saved. Because God has promised in his word that he will save the sinner when the sinner calls unto him in repentance and faith. And if God's word is not true, then I'm not saved. And if God's word is not true, then I'm not going to heaven. But God's word is true. And not only does he give assurance through his word to the sinner when the sinner comes in repentance and faith to him, but day by day as we live the Christian life, the Lord gives us help and strength and assurance through his word, through the promises of his word. Listen, if God has promised to save us when we call upon him, God will keep us because he has promised to keep us. He has promised to keep us. Child of God, no matter how difficult the times, no matter how hard your Christian life may be, go to the promises of God's word. God says in his word, this is a promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the promise of God, to give strength. The Lord has promised
to be that friend that will stick closer than any brother. That's a promise. God doesn't break his promises. Men break their promises. But God never breaks his promises. And as Joshua commenced his ministry here, as he commenced being the successor of Moses, oh, it was a time of sadness. Oh, it was a time of blessing. Yes, it was a time of challenge. Yes, what challenges were going to face him? But as he stepped forward into the Jordan, and as he crossed the Jordan into the promised land, my, he went forward trusting in God's word. Child of God, the Lord's word will not fail us. And we'll all get home to heaven. Now, don't you think you're going to lose your salvation? You're not going to lose your salvation. Because God's word, not unless God's word changes. God's word changes, then we're going to lose everything we have. But God's word will not change. God will honor his word. Because he's God. Thank God we can trust in what the Lord says. My friend, you're not saved today. Trust the word of God. Cast your burden upon the Lord. The Lord will save you and forgive you for your sins. The problem is you don't want to be saved. You want to hold on to your sin. You want to keep your sin. That's why you're not saved. But I'll tell you this. When you turn from it, that's repentance. And look to the Lord will save you and the Lord will give you assurance. He'll give you peace in your heart. Oh, we're finished. There's some other things we wanted to say, but time's away. We have to go on to this mission. But oh, my friend, stand on the promises of God. Go forward in your Christian life, holding on to the promises of God. May the Lord bless his word.